I think he left Atlanta. Oh, got as far as Waynesboro. And they were that late. They were staying rather late, though, of course, disturbances of war. And father and mom was only 3 years old, being bundled up and carried into town from the house. It was just across the street then, Henry H. Cummings' house. And so that was the last. Then after the war, the people began to stay all year round on the hill. They didn't have the slaves, didn't have the serfs, everybody broke, didn't get the expense of moving. But many of the slaves would stay out here during the wintertime to keep the house going. Mm-hmm. And, well, a whole lot of anecdotes I could tell it via that. But then the fire in 1916, which destroyed about half of Augusta, you know, practically all the residential city, then the village of Somerville lost its unique identity and autonomy too, and separated. The people began moving out, began to build. Their houses burned down. Rebuild on Lower Broad Street? No, let's go out on the hill. So from Montesano Avenue almost west, and all of that, because all these subdivisions the last 20 years or so are new. Mm-hmm. But the houses that were built after the 1916 fire make up the bulk. This is the center of the old. In fact, the center of Somerville was Gould's Corner, which is a village road in Walton Way, a mile radius, village of Somerville, from that corner. And going from here to town as a child, there'd be long stretches of uninhabited sandy areas. Mm-hmm. Well, there'd be a house here and there, but it wasn't settled, separate community. So we've been our father and grandfather since the war, came back after the war.
Well, you mentioned slaves and things. You must have had lots of servants when you were growing up.
Well, considering our poverty, we had enough, just lifestyle. But I remember once sitting in this room, Mr. Dickey lived down here on the corner, good friend and father, they were here protesting the cooks, by golly, are asking for $5 a month. It's perfectly outrageous. Well, it was, in the wake of $5, a hell of a lot of money, and the cooks told it. It was one of the prequisites. Shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth the corn, you know. And so the cooks took home to their families. Well, their families lived right across the street in grandfather's backyard. But there was always a cook and a maid. My sister and I each had a nurse. And yard man, but double for a butler. Mm-hmm. And our grandfather had a coachman and a laundry woman, this of course after the war, and a maid and a cook, and supernumerary picking in it, running around, toting things. But it was a real poverty stricken. You student of history know that we didn't have. Father lived on $75 a month, mm-hmm. and $5 that went to the cook, and probably another $6-$7 went to the butler. But those my earliest recollection, we always had two or three servants here, in addition to my mammy, who stayed with me for a long time. So we lived thriftily, and of course the company never had any money. Grandfather said, always make money, live well, and die poor, and they did. Thomas Cummings was the only one that made money, and he made an enormous amount. He was a merchant and a banker, and all the rest professional men, lawyers, doctors, went to West Point, civil engineers, and every Cummings ever dabbled in business lost it all, never had any business mm-hmm. sense at all, except Thomas. But right now, the money that the Augusta College uses for the radio, mm-hmm. that's bankrolled by Mary Cummings. She was the last of the family that held the money, all the rest of it was spent. And when she died, she left a very large estate. And she directed Dewey and Ed co-executives to decide the distribution of it. And I plugged for the museum, for the Richmond County Historical Society, and maybe I put in a plug for Harry on the radio, but I remember it was it had to do with